teaching and the time of the Sunday school and the message. But prepare our hearts to receive your word this morning. Lord, that we will receive that, cherish it in our hearts, and then take it out there to the world, Lord, that the whole world would hear, the whole world would see us reflecting you. We thank you, we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. There's some announcements.
Good morning. So we have quite a few announcements today, so bear with me. Tuesday, we have the food pantry from 12 to 2. Wednesday is our youth group from 6:30 to 8:30 for 6th grade to 12th graders. Carissa is still gathering people's information who would like to read through the Bible with her. So she's not here this week, but you can contact her through email or contact Amanda, and she'll put you in contact with Carissa. We are in need of nursery workers, so if anybody feels led to help us out in that capacity, please see Amanda or myself on that. Couple nights to put on your calendar, August 10th and August 24th. Those are Wednesday nights. There will be no youth group on those nights, but we are doing family nights. And that's for, we're going to have just a time of fellowship, hot dogs, games. That's from 6 p.m. to 8:30. Invite your friends. It's just going to be like a community kind of thing. Just a fun time to get together. August 19th through the 21st, youth group. This is our endurance weekend. So please see Amanda or Kevin. Sign up for that. That is open to 6th grade through 12th grade. They always have an amazing time. Amanda and Kevin come back exhausted, but they love doing it.
It is great.
And today, immediately after church, we have our church baptism and cookout, and that's at our house. It's 424 Temple Road in New Ipswich. So bring your swimsuit. It's immediately following church. We'll probably do the baptism first. That gives us some chance to cook some stuff up, and then we can immediately eat and swim and just have a nice time of fellowship. So at this time, we can dismiss kids for kids' church.
Catch everybody on their way in, so I'm going to say it again. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, everybody. Good to see you all. Glad you could make it. It's going to be a great cookout. A little dunking, a little dining. It'll be great. It'll be awesome. Just get to worship Jesus. Get to follow the Lord's instruction. Some people are stepping forward in faith to be baptized this morning. It's just great. It's Baptism Sunday, one of my favorite times of the year. And we don't have, that's why we're going to 7, Rebecca, is we don't have a baptismal here, especially up here. This is an 1880s building. That amount of water on this frame probably would not be a great idea. We'd end up worshiping in the basement. Some of us might even meet Jesus. So we're just going to go to 7 Rebecca's. It's better that way for everybody, right? It'll be great. So we're going to talk today about baptism. I just want to go over that with everybody. Take some time, right? Why be baptized? What is the deal, right? I want to take the time to just get us all on the same page there, to do that together. Is why once we put our faith in Jesus, once we come to be saved, as it's called, why that next step is getting baptized, right? So we're going to talk about it. What is it? Why do it? Right? If we do it, when do we do it? And when we do it, who are we doing it for? All right? That's what we're doing this morning. We're going to talk about that. So let's talk about the basics. What is water baptism? All right? There's some denominations, even we're going to go there, around the world that can differ a bit on what baptism is, right? What it is to be, how to go about doing it, when and where and all that. So we're going to do this. All right, church family, we're going to talk about that here because we're going to do that. We're going to end up where we land on the subject of the matter, if you will, water baptism as the family here at New Covenant Bible, okay? So in simplest of terms, we're talking about water baptism, right? Water baptism is a public expression of a private experience, and there's more to it. We're going to elaborate, but that is to say, it's where we're openly in that moment, we're declaring our faith, our belief in Jesus Christ, right? And then we're symbolically in doing that, following in the footsteps of his death, his burial, and his resurrection into new life. And now that inward reality, right, that we came to, that inward reality of having come to Jesus Christ, accepting him to be our Lord, to be our Savior, right? It's now brought us to this place of outward expression, not only in obedience to God's word, but also in sharing this moment with all of y'all, right? Our church family, we share that together And it also invites all of us to join with those people in baptism, right? Who are joining their walk with Jesus with them, right? Come around each other in the good times and the tough times, right? We help each other. We teach each other. We lift each other up. Maybe sometimes confront each other in love, right? If you're taking a left maybe from your walk with Jesus, giving basically that permission even to hold each other accountable, all right, in that public time there, as you do for them one day. We're all going to do that for each other at some point, all of people for each other, with a loving and a healthy family model going there, right? That's what we're supposed to do for each other. And I mentioned that not all denominations agree on water baptism in the sense of a couple of things, two things, there's actually three things. What is the significance of it? When it's time to be baptized, and specifically even the big one, how to be baptized, or as we call it, the dunk or the sprinkle, right? There's a dunk or sprinkle, right? So we're going to go over these things, and we're going to get into the deep end, you see what I did there, of the meaning and the significance of water baptism, okay? So let's talk about those things first. Let's do that, and then we'll continue on. Right? There are some who believe that water baptism is an essential part of the salvation process. Now, what do I mean by that? I mean to say that there are some who will take a few verses throughout the Bible, and I just listed a few, and we can study them individually, right? Like John 3, verse 5, a few others, the Titus 3, verse 5, Acts 2, 38, 1 Peter 3, 20 through 21. They get a little taken out of proper context, a little misinterpreted there, to suggest that you're coming to believe in Jesus Christ is only part one of a four-part process before you're fully saved, right? No. So let's go over that, right? It's a false doctrine. I just need to call that out. I want to make you all aware of it, and they call it baptismal regeneration, okay? Maybe some of you have heard of it. Like somehow getting baptized adds to your belief in Jesus in order to complete the process of salvation in the sense of being saved, okay? About which now this baptismal part would be part four of your regenerative process, because somehow you're not truly fully saved yet. It's kind of strange, right? And it's not true, it's not biblically supported, and it should be really summarily rejected. I want to just caution you on that. But I'm going to finish telling you about it so that you're aware, at least, of what it is, and then we'll move on into the how-tos, if you will, of biblical water baptism. All right, basically, It's a problem with playing guitar first. Baptismal regeneration, the problem with it, it goes against Scripture, right? In the same manner as if one could be, like, even baptized in the Holy Spirit as an additional event in order to receive the Holy Spirit once you place your faith and believe in Jesus, right, as your Lord and Savior. That too is false, because we know we get the Holy Spirit once we come to Jesus. Once we say and declare and put our faith and trust in Jesus, we believe we receive the Holy Spirit right then. It's not a separate event, okay? And neither is this, all right? So we're going to look to the Word of God for the truth of the matter here about this baptism process. So we read here in John 3:36, right, as probably what I would say the most direct and to the point proof that there's nothing other than believing in Jesus to receive salvation. Right? No additives, fillers, preservatives, nothing else is necessary. The Word says that whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Okay, whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. We see it again here in John 5, verse 24. I truly say to you, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me, what? Has eternal life. Has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but is passed from death to life. All right? And that's that last part there, passed from death to life, that's going to play into the how that we're to be baptized. And I'll explain in a bit, right? Because we're following in the footsteps of our Savior, like I said earlier. Jesus, he says it all throughout the New Testament. So did his apostles, right? Like in Acts chapter 16, verses 25 through 33, like we talked about recently in past messages, the Philippian jailer, right? We brought Paul and Silas, brought them out of the prison, out of the jail they were in after the great earthquake, right? Opens prison doors, sets the captives free, right? And they flung open, and that guard, he was there with them in fear and trembling. He says, sir, what must I do to be saved? What must I do? Right? And they respond to him in verse 31, and they said, believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved. That's it. Right? You and your household, also talking there even about the evangelical process of bringing Jesus home to your family, right? Bringing them to the knowledge and the love of Christ, that they would receive that as well, right? Because no one person can give their salvation to another. It's not a transferable thing. Okay, so suffice it to say that the act of baptism is not necessary for salvation. Hold on, follow with me. It's not what saves you. It's not what in any way adds to your salvation in Jesus Christ, being baptized. It's not required as a part of complete salvation, if you will, right? But we really want to drive the point home. We're going to look here at Ephesians 2, verses 8 through 9, where the Word of God reads that it is by what? Our faith in Jesus, that we have been saved through God's free gift of grace. It's free. It's not by anything we did or could do or have done or whatever. It's beyond our reach and our own strength. All right? So our act of getting water baptized here, it doesn't add anything to our salvation in Jesus Christ. It couldn't. It doesn't. All right? There's no belief plus plan going on here. Okay? It's solely, it's simply that we believe, we put our trust and faith in Jesus Christ. Right? And we'll be saved. Amen? You with me? Good. Good. So the other thing now that people don't all agree upon there is the method, if you will, by which one goes about being water baptized. All right. Yes, we all agree on baptizing with water. Okay. But sometimes people believe it's a sprinkling thing. Others, it's a full dunk, if I could say it that way. That is to say, by complete immersion into the water, fully immersed into the water, right? Completely, your whole body, and then brought back up again. And we believe here at New Covenant, all right, in New Covenant Bible Church, that in order to be properly, fully water baptized is to be fully immersed into the water and then raised back up. And I'm going to explain why we believe that. Let's start first with the word itself, baptize. All right, let's take it to the Greek, okay? Baptizo, all right, it means to immerse. Right there, it means to immerse. Some denominations go back even to a similar word, you know, baptismos, to mean a ceremonial washing. So they land on the sprinkle side of things, if you will. Whereas the actual Greek word for sprinkle, right, a couple of Greek words here, not going crazy, rantizo and acheo, neither of which are found within the original Greek writings here in the Bible in relation to water baptism. And if any of you, like we announced, if any of you have been to Endurance or kids camp in general, right, like we do each year here, you realize very quickly that a mere sprinkling of water does not make one clean. It doesn't happen. It doesn't make one clean. It takes a full dunking to be truly cleansed and get the, shall I say, smell that only kids camp can achieve. So they do that every morning at camp. We have this thing called the polar plunge. But anyway, seriously, the original Greek word, baptizo, is meant for one to be fully immersed in water. Okay, that's all the way in, all the way under, in order to be properly baptized. So again, I don't want to get into interdenominational argument over it per se. I would rather just look right to God's word. All right, let's take it right to God's word, his complete and inerrant word for the answer. Is that fair? Can we do that? All right, cool. So let's begin and let's end with Jesus. It's all about Jesus, right? Jesus in all things. Let's look right to the word, right? Jesus was water baptized, right? By John the Baptist. Well, how did he go about it? Well, let's look at Matthew chapter 3. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 3. I'm going to read about the baptism of Jesus in verses 13 through 17, where it says, then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and you come to me. John's going, wait a minute. You're Jesus. You should be baptizing me, not me. You, right? But Jesus, he goes on and he answers him. He says, let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. And then John consented, right? We're going to come back to what Jesus said there in a bit. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water. Okay? And behold, the heavens were open to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. This doesn't, to me anyway, this doesn't sound like a sprinkling situation. I don't know about you, but let's also talk about now the Ethiopian Eunica talks about in Acts chapter 8, verses 35 through 39. The word said that they went down into the water. He was baptized by Philip, and then they came up out of the water. All right, and there are other references even in the Bible as to whenever there was a baptism, it was down in the water, be it a river or wherever, it was in water, just like we see in John 3:23, because it said there was water, the water was plentiful there, and there were people down there being in the water, being baptized. And so I guess you can come up even with a hybrid question, if we were to ask it that way, that, well, what if they were standing in the water, right? Never went under and back up again, but what if they stood there in the water with the pastor, the elder, whoever's baptizing them, whoever, right? And they poured then water over their head instead of a full dunking. All right, so kind of put the two together, but at least they were in the water at the time. Well, again, you got to think about this. This is a symbolic expression of our faith and our obedience in Jesus. This is a visual connection with the way that we are now joined with Jesus, as we read even in Romans 6, where we are now dead to sin, alive in Christ. Right? What shall we say then, starting in verse 1? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. All right? How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. Right? For who has died has been set free from sin. Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. Right? We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Again, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Don't present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourself to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. Death, burial, resurrection. You really can't bury someone who's standing, can you? Doesn't work well that way. Right? Have some dirt sprinkled over their head, call that done. Not trying to, like, funny, not funny, right? But practically, we know this. When someone dies, they no longer have that ability to stand. This would mean they are laying down, right? Furthermore, in death, we're buried, typically speaking. And that is being under the ground. Okay, so as it goes even for water baptism in the proper biblical sense, as we would have been set by example by Jesus himself, that day John baptized him, right? As we read in Matthew chapter 3, when we're baptized, we go down into the water. We're fully immersed. That means hold your nose, you're going under, right? Okay, and then we're raised up again. We're raised up symbolically following in the footsteps of Jesus through his death, burial, and his resurrection. Making sense? All right, let me cover the last of these three things too, and then we'll circle back to the symbolism, the acts of obedience there. The third thing that some denominations disagree on is when one is to be baptized. The first thing that typically comes to mind, we see a lot too, is infant baptism, right? When you're a baby, your parents will take you to church, then the pastor or the priest or whoever, they baptize you with a sprinkling of water over the crown of your head. That's the bald part I have up here. All right, the crown of your head, and now you can baptize. But there's a problem with that. There's actually two, but we already covered the sprinkling part. So that leaves a big thing left on the table, and that's choice. It's a choice, all right? God designed us to love him, right? To worship him, okay? God created us even lower than the angels of heaven to show them that even a lower creation of God could choose to love the Lord with all their heart, mind, soul, strength, right? Mark 12, 30 and 31. God gave us the ability to choose him or to not, right? So that's how we come to salvation in Jesus Christ, through our choice to believe in him, to trust him,
put our full faith in him, right? Follow him, serve him, love him all the days of our lives. The list goes on, but it all starts with a choice, with our own choice, right? To believe. No one can make that choice for us. Right? It's salvation. It's not transferable. Okay, I can't want you to be saved so badly that I can just wish it upon you and you'd be saved. That's not how it works. It's a personal decision. If you have not yet chosen to come to Christ, that's your choice. That is your choice to make in what you do. So, if that's not the way to salvation, without first choosing to believe in Jesus anyway, how can anyone, our parents or anyone, decide for us that it's time to be baptized? How can they do that? We're still a baby in that case, right? Right? Can't even change our own diaper, much less choose to follow Jesus. We don't yet understand. Okay? How can we repent of our sin if we haven't even learned how to speak yet, or what that is, or how that works? How can we begin our daily walk with Christ if we can't even walk physically yet? Right? So in short, we must first choose for ourselves to follow Jesus, and then it's time to be baptized. Okay? Right, which begs the question, how soon? How soon after we come to Christ, after we commit our lives to Jesus, how soon is it time to get baptized? When should we be baptized? Well, we see in the Word the biblical approach would be pretty much in the immediate, if it's possible. Right? As soon as possible, after you come to Jesus, profess Him to be your Lord and your Savior, putting your belief and your faith in Him, right? The next step in your new walk with Jesus is to be water baptized. Right? Recall the Roman guard. Recall his family. Once they came to believe in Jesus as their Savior, the Word says back there, right, in Acts 16:33, that he and his whole family were baptized right then, right there, and all at once. They all got in there, right? Right after the profession of their faith. Even the Ethiopian eunuch that we talked about back in Acts chapter 8, just to connect all those dots, right? It said they were going along the road. This is after he has now come to know Jesus and put his faith in him. He and Philip, they were going along the road. They came to some water, and the Ethiopian eunuch said, hey, there's some water right there. Let's do this, right? Why not now? And so right then and there, Philip baptized him. Right then. Okay? And then they came up out of the water. Again, it says, so baptism is for those who believe in, those who have decided to follow Jesus. From that point forward, that point of belief, confession, repentance, right, through all the days of their life from then on, baptism, it's not for the unbeliever. Baptism follows that conversion process, if we can say it in the vernacular, not the other way around. And get baptized and then come later to believe in Christ, which moves us on now even why. Why do we get baptized? We touched on a few things earlier, right, as we've gone along this morning. But I want to dial that in. I want to dial that in with you. So let's do that. Let's take that time. Like I said at the beginning, right? The water baptism, it's a public expression of a private experience, right? Or shall I say a decision, as we've talked about, because we made that choice to believe in Jesus, right? From that moment of conversion, if you will, after our confession and repentance, our realization, right? Because how can we believe in who Jesus is, right, and what he's done for us if we do not first realize why he did what he did for us, what that means and what that costs, and why we can't repay what he paid. So we have to come to that realization. So from that moment in our salvation, we've now been grafted into the family of Christ. So beautiful. Right? Adopted, literally, as one of his own. And we receive that Holy Spirit at that moment within us. Come alive within us, right? And we were once dead in our sin. We're now alive in Christ, Romans 6. Right? So it's time now to take our relationship with the Lord Jesus public. Right? We didn't come to Jesus to live the rest of our lives as secret agent saints, right? Just kind of keep that hidden. No, we didn't come to Jesus even to purchase hell insurance, fire insurance policy. No, we didn't do that. If we did, if that was our intention, we didn't really come to Jesus, did we? No, because those are not true reasons to come to Christ. Those are self-serving, and a true relationship with Jesus is one of selflessness, not selfishness. I can say that. So it's time to let the whole world know. Right? What's it, casting crowds, let the whole world hear, right? That we've come to Jesus, right? We've put our faith in Jesus. We love Jesus. And what better place to start taking that public than with your family, right? With your church family. If you're new to Jesus and thus new to church, right? We say, welcome to the family. Right? And the next step together that we should take, right, is
to get water baptized, to come around you, love on you, pray on you for that, right? And if you've been in the family of God for some time now even, and have yet to be water baptized, today is the day. Today is the day. Don't put it off anymore, please, all right? Join us today. Get water baptized. It's like a marriage ceremony. Right? A man and a woman, right? Can just as easily go down to the town hall, right? Say their vows in front of a judge. They can do that. Sign the marriage certificate, and then they're married. They're legally married at that point. So technically, there's no need for that public marriage ceremony as you're now both married. Right? But we still have these marriage ceremonies, these receptions. Why? Because we want our whole family around us. We want to outwardly symbolize our love for each other, to the family, to each other, public declaration of our love, right? Our exchange of vows, right? And we now also are giving a level of accountability out there. We're saying this in front of a lot of people. We're being accountable to them as well. Our promises to each other as a husband, as a wife, right? Because it's such a joyous occasion. It's such a defining moment in our lives. We just naturally want everybody there, right? All our friends, all our family, and share in that, right? But even without it, we can still be married privately. It happens, right? And be just as committed even in it. So hear what I'm saying, right? So for all those who would ask as to why they would need to be water baptized, let me say it this way. Just like the marriage illustration, even if you never get water baptized, first of all, right, but still have put your faith in Jesus Christ, you're still saved. So let me be clear. Okay, you're still saved. You're still an eternal part of the family of God. But isn't there more to it, right? With this water baptism thing as to why do it? Why do it, right? Like the song says, what? I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, right? No turning back. But to follow the example of Christ, the word says, in our day-to-day lives. And all this wisdom, all this instruction that has been revealed to us from within God's word, right, has not only impartation, but there are also action items for us to follow. Is that fair to say? There's some action items there, right? And the biggest of them is to love God and love others as we read. That is to say, live as Jesus lives, love as Jesus loves, right? Walk in the footsteps of Jesus as we proclaim the gospel to the world. And if that's the case, and if that's us submitting ourselves to him, seeking to live, right, as he lives, serve as he serves, all in accordance with God's revealed word, well, when Jesus was baptized. So is it fair to say we should be too? You know, when we get baptized, we're identifying ourselves there with Jesus. We're connecting there. Right? I said earlier that it was an outward expression of an inward process. It's an outward and symbolic way of showing our connection with Christ. Right, as we read in Romans 6, and we know from the word that Jesus, he came to die for our sins, and in doing so was then buried in the tomb, and in 3 days, what? He rose again. Right? Fortunately, we won't hold you down for 3 days, not even really 3 seconds, but we're in a way reenacting that death, burial, that resurrection in a spiritual sense, if I can say it that way, as we're immersed into the water, symbolizing the death of our old self, our old sinful self, right? The shedding of our sinful past, leaving it out there, down there under the water to never rise again. Completely cleansed, completely forgiven of our sinful past. And then we're what? We're raised up out of the water. We're raised up just as Jesus was from the grave into new life in him forevermore. Isn't that awesome? It's so great. Identifying ourselves with Jesus even as in accordance even with the word or God's word in Romans 6, 4, where we buried therefore with him by baptism into death. In order that we, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. Being water baptized in the presence of our church family, right? It's an honor, it's a privilege for all of us, bidirectionally, right? It's a symbolic connection there with Christ. It's a joyous occasion for everyone involved, right? And nothing to be put off anymore. Because we don't want to forget, we don't want to overlook here that this is also God's command in the Word, right? I didn't lead with that, but it is there. This is God's command for all who believe, all who have been saved, all who have come to know him through saving grace, right? Through our faith in the Son Jesus. And this is why the Word illustrates why all that written example from within, all of those who came before us, all of those who responded as we should, showing that we should be baptized really just as soon as we're able to be after coming into the family of God through salvation in Jesus Christ. Right, this demonstration, it's a part of our obedience to our Heavenly Father. It's done out of respect. It's done out of reverence for Him, not for ourselves. Right? Baptism is not about us. It's not for us, but it's about our profession of faith in Him. Right? It's a public declaration of our lives now willing to be lived for Him, chosen to live as He lives through us now by the power of the Holy Spirit alive in us. We have God's Word to instruct us, right? And the Holy Spirit to guide us in that, and we are to respond in that submission, in that obedience, right? With gladness, it says. Not from a sense or feeling, not of obligation. It's not obligatory, right? But it's out of our love for Him. It's out of a desire to please Him beyond anything we could ever want for ourselves. This is what it's all about. Jesus, He paved the way by example for each one of us, starting with His own baptism. It's pretty cool. See, now Jesus lives a sinful life. I didn't say that past tense. Jesus lives a sinless life. Right? So in accordance with why John was baptizing people for the forgiveness of their sins, that was what he was doing there. The baptism of repentance, as it were. Jesus didn't need to do this. He had no need of repentance. He doesn't sin. Right? So in as much as John the Baptist was taken aback, he was really caught off guard by Jesus' request. Being that he knew that he was the sinless one of God, he was God, where it was John who said should have been the reverse, right? John should have been baptized by Jesus for the forgiveness of John's sins, right? And later, amazingly, Jesus, he accomplished this, right? Though not with water, but through his death on the cross, right? For the forgiveness of all our sins. But Jesus, he was very specific as to why he needed to be baptized, as he stated in Matthew 3, verse 15. It is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness, right? For us, right? Because Jesus was about to start the fulfillment of his work here, his beginning of ministry. He was about to be recognized publicly as the Messiah. And it even showed Jesus' connection in the reverse with sinners, okay? For those he came to seek, for those he came to save, to show us how to respond in faith to the Father by taking that step. And perhaps most importantly, it displayed for all time and for all history, the perfect embodiment, okay, of the Trinitarian nature of God. Okay, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, all right there at Jesus' baptism, right? We see God's pleasure in Jesus' obedience, which resulted in the descending of the Holy Spirit upon Jesus, right? Which is how it works for us today. For all those who come into the presence of the Lord, right, proclaim their belief in His Son. And then we receive His Holy Spirit right then, transforming us now from death into life. This is so exciting. And granting us life everlasting from now into eternity. See, Jesus, He modeled that humility and His response in obedience to the Father. And He left the roadmap for us in His Word. He left it there, showing us the way in which we should go. And so Jesus, just as He took His ministry public, right, so should we take ours public. Make that decision to take ours public in our love and our obedience as we step into the waters of baptism, right, with all our church family around us, supporting us in prayer there, celebrating with us God's glory, right, shown through our response in faith, heard in our testimony of our love for Jesus, our choice to follow Him all the days of our life. And so, I don't know about you guys, but we should all be excited to join together today. I'm excited to join with all of you today, this morning, right? And in my excitement, could the worship team please find a way back up, right? I'm excited to be, and I'm honored to come down into the waters with you guys, to be with the family all around us in our obedience and desire to follow Jesus together and baptize each of you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, as it says in accordance with the Word, right? As you guys take that choice to lay down your old life, to rise up, cleansed and renewed in a new life in Jesus. And I'm telling you, if this has touched anybody who may not have signed up, don't worry about it. Pool's open, the water's fine. Come on down into the water with us, all right? It's okay. Join us and respond to the calling of Jesus on your life this day. Join us in the waters of baptism, okay? And the time is now. Don't put it off any longer. Jesus is calling
Will you respond in faith? That's the question. Will you respond? Will you share in that precious moment with us this day? Right, that we can celebrate with you taking your faith public and taking the gospel of the Lord. Okay? Remembering the very words of Jesus is found in Matthew 10, verse 32. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. That is so awesome. Let's do this. Let's stand together. Let's just sing a song of praise to our Father in heaven. And it may be a new one for some of you, and I apologize sliding a brand new song at the end, but it just was so fitting and amazing that just, we had to do it. We had to do it, and it's called Baptized.